Excellent.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Pro, founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective and a functional health coach, helping women feel their best inside and out. Today, I have an incredible guest joining me, my friend and fellow IFBB Bikini Pro, and someone I deeply respect, Allegra Sims. Allegra and I both spent years working towards our IFBB Pro status, fully immersed in the competitive bodybuilding world, but as life evolved, so did our priorities. So even though we're not currently competing, we both still live and breathe the bodybuilding lifestyle, just in a way that aligns with where our lives are at now. I want to have this conversation because I know that so many competitors struggle with the idea of taking a step back. There's this fear that leaving the stage, even if it's temporary, means that you stop being a bodybuilder. And I think that that's something that Allegra and I have shared. But Allegra and I are here to tell you today that that's not the case. So today we're sharing our stories, how we've embraced life beyond the stage, the balance that we found, and how you can do the same if you ever feel called to. So without further ado, Allegra, first of all, thank you so much for joining us on this special episode.
Thank you
Would
for
you?
having me. I'm honestly so excited to be here, and I love we've talked a little bit off the recording, but I am excited to be here and just share my story, and hopefully it resonates with other athletes.
Yeah, I literally couldn't think of a more perfect person for this topic. I remember Allegra, you and I being on Instagram and kind of chatting back and forth about like, hey, we're both kind of struggling in this season. It would be nice to have a friend to call. We're like trying to set something up. And then as soon as the feeling hit me, I was like, I know who to call.
This is it. This is the time.
Allegra, let's kind of set the stage for our listeners. Would you tell us just a little bit about your journey turning pro and what the experience was like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started competing back in 2019, with a local coach. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I just wanted to, check things out, see if I liked it, push myself. I've always been an athlete my entire life. I played soccer collegiately, and I loved pushing myself to that new limit physically, and needed a little extra push. So, I graduated my master's degree in 2016. And, when I was at my master's program, I still followed a training, regimen. My food was still pretty good. Everything. I was still an athlete, just not an active athlete as far as, coaching with a team or something like that. So, like I'm sure a lot of people, I found bodybuilding online, and this is when Instagram was, coming out, and it was just so exciting to see, these athletes who are so beautiful with their muscle maturity and just the femininity with bikini and the sparkly bikinis. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'm gonna go for it, and we're gonna try it out. So 2019, found a local coach, dipped my toes in a little bit, and ended up, taking my class in my first two shows. And then I switched coaches and went to nationals for the first time, which was when it was in Miami. Which I that's like that's such a fun show. I never got to do it again, actually, but when it was in Miami, it was a blast. And I went into that show like not even knowing what nationals was. I was like, yeah, this is the next step that everybody talks about. Ended up placing 10th at my first national show, and was like, oh, this is
Great.
cool. So as time went on, I ended up doing the full gambit of 2020 in a prep. And we all know how that has turned out. And it was difficult. And shows, as got pushed back and canceled and all these things. So I ended up being in prep for almost that entire year. And that
Oh, I
is,
can relate. That was me.
yeah, I know. So it was just one of those like, oh, I can keep going. I can keep going. I have nothing else going on besides work and working out. So why would I, stop, essentially? So did that whole thing, and I specifically remember at Junior US, no, yeah, Junior USA's, when it was in Charleston, and it was pushed out to like August at that point. I remember looking at these girls next to me. I'm in class E, so I was looking at these girls next to me like, holy crap, they are huge. And that's when I was like, okay, well, bodybuilding, we have to build. And I was just cutting and just getting as lean and shredded as possible because I didn't know any better. And at the time, that's what my coach wanted. So that's what we did. We got super lean. And I placed my absolute worst that year, you know, end of second call outs more times than I can count. And, you know, that's when I was like, you know what? I love this sport. I want to progress. So we're going to give it my all. So in 2021, I hired my current coach, Dylan Bear, and never looked back from coaching because I absolutely love him and love the team and everything. So we took all of 2021 off to grow and really get my metabolism in a good, healthy spot. Because it wasn't. I was doing, you know, 3 hours of cardio, eating 600 calories. And that's what I thought at the time was normal. Like most people, when they get into the sport, it's like, oh, you have to be suffering. So switched my mindset right then and there with Dylan and was able to take that year off, grow, understand what my body needed at the time, I guess. And then came back to stage in 2022 for, earned my first overall at an NPC show, which was, and still is, one of the highlights, of competing for me, is just earning an overall. Cause it's just such a surreal feeling. And then after that was in June, and then we shut it down, took the rest of the year to grow. And then 2023, I placed top five for the first time at national shows at, Junior Nats. Did I do another show? They all blend together, but I just,
I know they do.
It's just like, oh, what year is it? But I specifically remember Junior Nats. I placed top five. I absolutely love that look and could not be happier. And of course my feedback was to grow. So that was normal time post COVID. So that was June. And then, so yeah, did that and then took the rest of the year off. And then last year we did our first NPC show of the season, which was Cali State, and, you know, won my class and then went on to, let's see, Junior Nats, where I actually placed eighth. So, you know, that's kind of a crazy placing in the whole macro lens of things, just because you're not technically in the mix right at that point. Like top five is usually, oh, that's when you go to the next national show, and those top five athletes usually earn their pro status, right? So after that show, I was pretty hurt, not gonna lie. I shared that on another podcast too. It's just, it was one of those times where I put everything into it. I gained weight because I had to and was eating everything in sight. I was, you know, just trying to fill out and, you know, fit the criteria. So I was like, screw it, we're doing another show. So we did USA's, and that is where I won my pro card. And then
had a girl.
I know that was such a surreal moment where it's like, it all led up to this one point and you're like, oh, I did it. Now what?
Yeah. You know?
It was just kind of like, oh, well, this happened. I hit my goal. But then I did end up doing a pro debut, Rising Phoenix. And that was just such a blast because it was really more so, I, you know, not obviously about the placing. I just wanted to experience like to be on the pro stage and backstage with the pros and be able to kind of just see their routine. Cause I've, you know, never been a pro before. But that's the little journey of getting and earning that pro card for sure.
I think there's a few things in there that you definitely touched on that I can 100%, you know, relate to, just from number one, your journey of being like dwindled down to nothing and truly being like the worst physically, internally and out that you probably could have ever been prior to just taking a different approach with a different coach. I've experienced that on both the athlete side now and the coaching side. I literally just got done before our call writing a client testimonial on an athlete I just had compete that was on 300 grams of protein and 15 grams of fat for over a calendar year. So I get it. In regards to, you know, your pro debut, I had a similar experience there with just like, okay, this is the next thing. I have earned this at this point, and I want to see, you know, what that's like. But I think something that you touched on here that I also really want to emphasize is And we'll talk about this more as we get into like the decision of stepping back and things like that. But that feeling of once you have it, it's so funny. Cause like, I remember the moment of winning my pro card and the overall at nationals. And it was so surreal. Like, it was an out of body experience. I didn't even know what was happening when it was happening, but
Or like,
I can,
because you like envision yourself on that stage so many times and manifest it and look it over and you're like, oh, now it's real. It's here.
It's here.
What do I do?
Yeah. You step off stage, you take your pictures, you go to bed that night and you wake up the next morning and you're still the same Allegra and you're still the same Maddie. And it's like, oh, whoa, this thing that I just chased since 2019 I now have in my possession. Yeah. And your whole life really revolves around that. And everything that you do, it's a very calculated decision. Mm-hmm. You know, our day to day, what we track in terms of data, the way we move our bodies and, you know, what is right versus what is wrong, what we eat, what events we attend, how we sleep, everything for years is so calculated. And so, it's kind of like this, like come down after the fact.
One of the things too that I realized, I'm sure you did too, but when you were, you know, let's say quote chasing that pro card, you know, you put all your eggs in that basket, right? And it's like, you know that nothing's going to change after, but there's still that small feeling of, oh, is there actually nothing that changes? Or, you know, it's not like sponsorships and money and things come out of nowhere. It's, you know, you've taken so long to get to that point where it's just a, like you said, surreal, like, what do I do moment? Cause you wake up and you're the same person. So hopefully throughout your journey of getting to that pro stage, you can reflect back and feel proud of what you did and essentially no regrets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think once again, I'm kind of jumping the gun here. We'll get to it. But I remember there was a period for me personally where there was a bit of confusion after the fact because I remember being like, and this is just my personality. I'm so go, 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 go. I never stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boyfriend even told me this weekend, he's like, Maddie, like, I love you, but you're intense. And like,
you need to sit down.
I never stopped to really think about like, what do I want next? Mm-hmm. And I struggled because there was a few months following my like pro card win and even pro debut where I was like, well, the next thing that I want is the Olympia. That's the next thing that I want. I want it. I want it. I want it. And it's not to say that, right. It's not to say that that's going to change and that I'm not going to want that down the line. But I can honestly say that like the decision to pursue the Olympia at the time, and even right now, like I have clarity around my decision, but at the time I was pursuing that and that was not my decision. And it was a decision that I made from a place of, well, this is just what you do. Now you pursue this next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what's a lesson that I have learned, and this applies to anything in life, is that if you're approaching or you're pursuing something out of a position of, and I just did a podcast on this, a should or an ought.
Yeah.
You're not going to, you may achieve that thing. I could get to the Olympia, but I can guarantee you I'm not going to take home Miss Bikini-O, you know, and maybe if and when the time ever came that I decided to actually pursue it and it was out of a place of want to, and perhaps even need to, then I will actually be able to get it at that point.
Yeah. It's just that mind shift where you have to prioritize what you truly want and, you know, look internally and not just be like, oh yeah, this is the next step. This is what everybody else does. So why would I not do that? When you do have to reflect and truly think about what your next steps, not only in bodybuilding, but in life really are.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we're kind of, you know, getting here, and towards our next conversation topic, I do want to continue kind of down the path of setting the stage here and ask you a couple of questions of just, you know, when you were competing, what were some of the biggest sacrifices that you felt like you had to make?
Yeah. So this is very important to me looking back because you say no more times than you would like to. You know, you put yourself first and, you know, there are some people who say bodybuilding is not a selfish sport where, you know, it, at the end of the day, you do, if you want to become a pro, you want to go to the Olympia, you're going to have to say no, and you're going to have to put your priorities first. And something that, you know, you need to do is really vocalize that and communicate that with your support system. So something that, you know, like I said, saying no was, you know, definitely hard to do at times, but had to be said. And, you know, being able to balance, or like I like to say harmonize now, because balance is such a tough word to just comprehend, right? So there's, so it's like one or the other, whereas harmonize is how things kind of go together. And that is something that I've been able to embody more so along my journey. But navigating relationships and events is actually something that is, you know, takes a back seat, and you do sacrifice, you know, some of those, you know, gatherings, the family events, the family dinners. You know, you had to make sure you bring your own food, check your boxes before going out, such as, you know, getting your steps in, getting your cardio training and all of that. Some of the hardest things though, during that time of, you know, making all those sacrifices, way back when I was on, you know, my second prep with my second coach, you know, hearing my family say, oh, you're prepping again. And, you know, that is something that really hurt me and still hurts me to this day, because I clearly put them on the back burner for that first season where I didn't want to, obviously, but your food is so low. I was, like I said, 600 calories and a shit ton of cardio. And I was angry. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Your body is shutting down at that point. So, you know, having that high cardio and low food and being hangry, my energy wasn't there for friends and family. So I decided, you know, at that point that my next prep, it would be different. And I wouldn't allow myself to put that much pressure on myself, essentially, and be able to have bodybuilding more of an accompaniment in my life rather than just a focus.
And yeah. I think something that when, as you were speaking, that definitely I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even remember this, but it's like, you know, I remember looking at my friends, and I never once had jealousy of my friends that maybe didn't compete at my level or didn't compete at all. But I will say it was a conscious thought when, for example, my friends had a birthday dinner at 7 p.m. And in my head, I had to reverse engineer my whole day. You mentioned having your boxes checked before you went out. I had to reverse engineer my whole day, even for something that should be as effortless, exciting, and as mindless as a date. You are essentially robbed of that presence in for that particular event to some extent, and willingly, but because you've got to reverse engineer your macros. You know, throughout the day, I'd be hungry, especially if we were going out for a cocktail or something. Had to get all my steps in and my training. So in my head, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to have as much of, as great of a lift because I have one less piece of toast for breakfast because I have this dinner tonight. And I don't know if he's going to get an appetizer. And if he gets the conch fritters, that's 6 grams of fat and 12, you know, it's like,
you everything's really, calculated.
Everything. And so you're right. You can still go. You can still do the things, and you probably will, but not to the extent that you really can from the other side.
Right. And you're able to relax and enjoy and have fun, like you said, because you're not necessarily all in that moment. It's okay. Did I do my cardio? I hit my steps. I got my training in. My food is good. I need sleep tonight. And so then you start thinking about the next day, and it's, I need sleep because tomorrow's a heavy leg day. So, you know, I need to get 8 hours. I need to get out of here, essentially. So you don't get to live in the moment and be present with those who you do care about and you absolutely love, hopefully, but you know, you're essentially just shortcutting yourself and not being present.
Yeah. You know, for me, getting my pro card, that was a dream that I had worked for or towards for years. And I don't want anyone listening to think that I didn't love the journey, because I loved the journey. I willingly made all these decisions. But once I achieved that goal, like we talked about, it's once that happened that I started thinking about what I wanted next in life. And I think the best way to really encapsulate what I had felt during that time was, for the longest time, I made a conscious effort to fit life into bodybuilding. And much like you talked about harmonizing, now it was time for me to find a way to fit bodybuilding into life. You know, I always share this. I even share this with Chris a lot. And I say, I knew back in the back of burner of my mind, in the back of my head, I didn't want to be the mom one day that had kids, that was making them easy Mac, and then was weighing out on a food scale plain sweet potatoes for myself.
Yeah.
And I also realized that there came this shift. It happened right after my pro debut, or even as I was approaching my pro debut. There came this shift where I was doing all the things that I knew how to do. And to be honest, I felt very comfortable doing, like weighing myself every day, opening up my spreadsheet, tracking my sodium, my water, taking my progress pictures every Tuesday, like same time, same lighting, same posing suit. And all of a sudden, I started to feel anxiety around those things. And I was like, why? Why am I feeling anxiety around these things? And then I realized that there were some things that I was doing that I should still maintain, you know, like eating a high protein breakfast, getting my water in. But did I really need to be tracking all the data? You know, and I did have this moment. I had this moment of like, oh, F the years and years and years that I spent doing that. You know, it was like, I almost got, it's like the, when someone dies, you know, you go, this is morbid, but you go through the stages of like anger, you know, guilt,
sadness.
Guilt, yeah. Yeah. And I did get to a place of true, you know, appreciation for what I had gone through and what I had achieved. And you talked about this already, like looking back and you said, you know, I hope that you can look back at the experience and just recognize all that you really achieved. And I think for, you know, our listeners trying to wrap their head around the place that at least I'd gotten to, it really was that competing was the most rewarding and fulfilling experience. But I knew that I wanted to create this space for someone in my life, you know, to date and ultimately to build a life outside of competing.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that. I've had my moments where I'm like, oh my, why am I tracking this? Like you said, we track our sodium, we track our bowel movements, we track, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You get so ingrained in it. And it's one of those things that is just second nature. And, you know, something that has helped me is just being able to look back and know that you can't cheat in this sport. You know, you either show up or you don't. And I think that is something that is not talked about a lot because there's PEDs and things out there that can help enhance, but you still got to show up. And if you don't do that, you know, you're not going to be rewarded in more ways than one. Put the trophy aside, but the mental, the physical strength, like everything that you go through and, you know, setting yourself up for success is also looking back thinking I did what I had to do and I'm proud of where I am now and what I have accomplished.
Yeah. And then also recognizing that it's okay to not have such a tight grip on those things. I'll never forget the day. And there was a day, you talked about bowel movements. There was a day I woke up and I didn't use the bathroom. And I remember being like, it's 10 a.m. I haven't used the bathroom. Like my coaches are going to be wondering like, what's wrong with my gut? And then I was like, why do I give a shit? You know, like, why do I care that I haven't gone? There's something wrong here, you know?
Yeah.
So words of wisdom for our listeners, you know, bodybuilding, it's going to teach you that discipline. It's going to teach you structure. It's going to teach you resilience. At least that's the takeaways that I've gotten. But life is not meant to be lived in just one chapter. You know, the beautiful thing about this life is that bodybuilding is always and forever going to be a part of yours and my identity. But we have the luxury and the honor of turning a page and uncovering and exploring more of who we are. We are not just 1D creatures and beings. There's so many dimensions to us. And I think it's a beautiful thing to have this conversation with you and to continue on this conversation and to be exploring for others, you know, to help others explore the other means of what our identities can encompass. So as we start to shift gears here, Allegra, can you answer, you know, when did you start feeling maybe the decision or the pull to take a step back? And how did you know that it was the right decision?
So for me, I still feel like I'm kind of fresh, like quote, off the stage, right? But I never really had the feeling of stepping back. It's more of the feeling that I need to give back who supported me throughout the years, including my family and of course my husband. You know, we've been together since COVID 2020, and you know, he's only seen me in a prep in off season. So we've been cutting, we've been building, and there's never been a real, you know, maintenance kind of established with us. Yeah, which is crazy to think about. So, you know, I know I wanted, or I knew I wanted my pro card, and I wanted to achieve the goal that I had set out for myself because I don't want to quit. I wanted to keep going. And so I, you know, kind of set the stage for myself a long time ago, thinking, okay, so we're gonna get married. We're gonna, you know, I would love to buy a house. I would love to earn that pro card and then have babies. You know, we all have that timeline in our head. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, 2023, we got married, and that was just the highlight of my life. And then, you know, and it was such a great experience because I did compete that year. And for some people, you know, you can't compete and plan a wedding at the same time. However, I'm such a type A person that it just kind of it worked. You know, I had all my ducks in a row, and that's the way it happened. And then, you know, 2024, Zach and I knew that that was going to be the year I go all out and, you know, have his support, of course, and go for that card. And then the year after that, now we're in 2025, and you know, we want to grow a family. So I already had that kind of in my head that it wasn't necessarily going to ever be a step back. It was just going to be a pause for me. And you know, I do live this lifestyle and love it. And even without the stage in, you know, essentially my near future, I live the athlete lifestyle, and it's just taken a little bit of a different type of athlete. So it's like we kind of touched on is stepping back a little bit from some of maybe the tracking and allowing us to go out on those date nights and not feel the pressure or the stress of, you know, engineering things backwards and you know, doing macro math and whatever you want to say. But, you know, the athlete both in and out, we have to be happy and healthy. And, you know, with having said that, you know, being on the stage and being in prep for the and building seasons for the last several years, I knew I needed to give back to specifically my husband. And, you know, he supported me through everything, and it's my turn to, you know, really step up and be able to put competing on, I don't want to say the back burner, but, you know, put it on the side for now and focus on a life season, because that is something that, you know, we as a couple have talked about, and we want to grow a family and move forward. And I'm not saying I'm retired or anything like that. I actually had a conversation with him before we recorded during breakfast. I'm like, I'm not in that retired mode. I'm in the, I want to live life and be as healthy and happy as I can. And you know, hopefully babies are in the future. So, you know, my goal now is to come back to the stage after babies. So it's never really been a step back. It's more of I want to live my life with my husband and family and friends and see where that takes me. And, you know, we never know what the future holds, but I want to make sure that my insides are healthy and they match my outsides, you know, and whatever that means, you know, that's gonna right now that is gonna come first. And, you know, between cutting or bulking or whatever you want to say, it's a team decision. So I'm not necessarily in the mindset of stepping back. It's just almost like a parallel step where I still prioritize being that athlete that I've been my entire life, but in a different aspect, if that makes sense.
Well, and that is the part where you have to see, much like me, you know, like Allegra, it's an identity. You identify as an athlete, and so there's always going to be things that you do, by goodness gracious, that are going to have bleed over into what you've always done as a bodybuilder. You know, that there's always going to be those parallels and those things that you're just going to do because, like I said, you identify with it. It's just a matter of recognizing, you know, it's a very fine line where there's a lot of bleed over. What things are you doing because you're comfortable doing them, and because they became routine and normal versus what things are you doing where there really is no other friction in any other area of your life. And they're actually serving you and the goal at hand. You know, for me, you've been talking about, you know, it's more of a step over, it's a parallel. The word that I think we both can use to describe what we're going through, like for me too, it's never about leaving bodybuilding, it's about evolving within it. You know, I wanted to be in a place where I could focus on relationships, on dating, on starting that family. And I knew that being in a constant state of prep, it wasn't conducive to that. Now, for me, I recognize, and I've done this my whole life, even when I left ballet, because you were a collegiate athlete, I was a professional ballerina. And when I left that, I remember needing to, for my mental well-being, also get to a space of what did that teach me? And what did it take for me in order to cultivate the appreciation that I had for my own journey? What did it take for me to get from point A all the way to point Z? And I recognize that when I have a goal or when I feel called to something, nothing gets in the way of that. I mean, nothing. And I will even, I do it the right way. You know, I tell, just like you did, I tell my loved ones, I get my support system together, I get my ducks in a row, but nothing gets in the way of me and my goals. And when I met Chris, who I'm dating right now, everything for the first time just clicked. I mean, it felt so natural at that point to shift into a phase of my life where I was still training, still prioritizing my health, but also now making room for new experiences and future goals. And I had to, at this point, really take the lesson that I had learned in the season of, in chapter one, if you will, of my bodybuilding career, where I recognized when something matters to you and it's like deeply in your heart. I mean, it's like digging, like it's like sewn in there. Yeah. When something matters to you, you do everything that you can for the health of that. And that's where I'm at with Chris. And that's where you're at with your marriage. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, now having a baby is the one thing that's on my mind. And for me, it's traveling, it's getting married, it's starting a family. And so it's like now, instead of doing my cardio and getting my sleep and, you know, getting all of my lifts hit with perfect RPE and training videos sent to my coaches and tracking every macro to the gram, now the prerequisites for what I need is a regular and healthy menstrual cycle, is date nights where I'm not restricting food throughout the day with my partner, is, you know, my partner and I sharing cooking meals together. Not to say that these are shit food junk meals. You know, the other thing that I want to add is I think sometimes we get stuck, and I love, Allegra, your whole analogy of evolution, or not evolution, excuse me, of harmony versus balance. I've never heard it said that way. And I think so many times we get stuck on either side of the spectrum. It's like, I'm either in season or I'm off season. I'm this bodybuilder, but if I'm not actively competing, I am nothing. And I am like scum of the earth. I can't even associate with that lifestyle. And so I had to learn first and foremost what I still needed to feel good. And I had to learn that it's okay to give myself permission to still have egg whites in my fridge instead of a bowl of cereal for breakfast. You know, it's like, I actually had to, what this has taught me, broad spectrum, I mean, big on a grander scale, bird's eye view, is that it's not healthy, whether you're a bodybuilder, whether you're a C-suite executive, whether you are, I mean, on a health and wellness journey, it's not healthy to live your life in an extreme.
No, or in a box, you know, like I have to do this, this, this. Otherwise I, like you said, I'm not worthy. I'm not this, I'm not that. Whereas, you know, when you are able to harmonize those things and like you said, have those date nights where you can cook together and you're just not tracking it. And again, it's not awful food. It's not junk food. It's healthy food that honestly, it makes you feel good. You know, it's not like, oh, we're ordering DoorDash and it's going to be the dirty, I don't even know. I don't order DoorDash. McDonald's or anything. And it's like, no, I'm at home. I'm making myself like this bomb ass salad, and it has all these micros, the macros. I'm sure they're great, but the priority is are the whole foods. And you know, that's what makes me feel good is, you know, being able to just kind of put the scale aside for a minute and just enjoy, again, being present in that time that you get to spend with your significant other, whether that's a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, whatever. And, you know, being able to, you know, you've talked about creating that, you know, togetherness with your boyfriend. And, you know, something that comes with that is being able to openly communicate about both of your goals. And, you know, it's not just you anymore. You know, you have this buddy in life that you get to live with and just have the time of your life with them. And to do so, you need to grow together and be open with what both of your futures look like, not necessarily just yours that is in that box, and allow yourself to say, yeah, I'm gonna have egg whites for breakfast because it makes me feel good.
Exactly. I mean, we had actually we went on a date night the other night for a dinner, and we were talking just before we ordered our dinner. I was like, listen, I'm okay splitting the steak with you, but I probably won't get the New York strip. Like, I will probably still get the filet because I need to have probably a leaner cut. You know, we had had a martini each. We had ordered the bone marrow already. We had gotten some oysters. All good things, but I was like, why don't we, you know, split the 7 ounce filet? And he was like, okay, there is one cut on here that sometimes is a little bit leaner. I mean, he knows his steak. And the waiter came up and he had asked the waiter, you know, which one is the leaner cut of steak, and had no problem ordering it, right? And it's
Yeah,
not
totally.
about that. It's more about the fact that, for one, you don't have to all of a sudden, and I have experienced this and I've also seen it. When you make a decision, first of all, the decision is not permanent. It's just what's in alignment for that season. The other thing is you have to recognize that we live this lifestyle. We are always going to do things that are going to be for our well-being, whether that is having a slice of cake because we're celebrating our loved one's job promotion, or whether it is, you know, the other day we went out for breakfast and we didn't get to breakfast until I think it was like 11. It was yesterday. We didn't get to breakfast until like 11. I had a big like hubcap pancake. It's the size of a hubcap. I didn't eat the whole thing, but I had a hubcap pancake. I had egg whites. I had fruit. I had turkey sausage. And then we didn't actually eat again until we went to get lobster at around 6:30 or 7 p.m. That was my next meal. And it honestly, like in my opinion, you know, there's a dark side to taking a step over or stepping into the season as well, and really not understanding like what is healthy versus what is not. I wasn't hungry in between my 11:30, you know, after my big A pancake and my egg whites and my turkey sausage and my fruit and my coffee. I was not physically hungry at all until dinner time. And I think like that's where this can kind of get unhealthy, is if you don't separate out and sort of like filter through with your little, it's, I picture like a little, you know, when you scoop sand and you shake it through the little mesh thing and you like get the, you've got to do that. You've got to do that with all these things that you once did as an in season or even off season, because I wouldn't even consider myself as being in an off season, but as an in season or off season bodybuilder, and recognize some of the stuff that you shouldn't be doing anymore. You probably shouldn't be eating six or seven meals a day. Like, we do that in a prep and in season or off season, right? Just like we track macros, and I'll talk about this soon, but we track macros as a tool, right? It's a tool to help us either eat less than what our body wants to because we're prepping, or eat more than what our bodies want to because we're trying to build or restore hormones. But
Absolutely.
tracking, it's not like once you actually know what you're eating and what your body needs, you shouldn't be tracking.
Well, and that's the thing, is what your body needs. So over time, if you are consistent with tracking and understanding, you know, what is good for you, then that is super important. Because, like, you know, what's really great for you, my body might be like, girl, like, we can't have this today. And, you know, something that you brought up is in season and off season, and, you know, being able to listen to your body and be intuitive with it. You know, I had this actually a few months ago when I was you know, I was reverse dieting. My food was getting really high and I was physically just uncomfortable. And I knew I wasn't going to be stepping on stage anytime soon. So, you know, I talked to Dylan and I was like, hey, I, at the end of the day, like for me, I love having a end of day snack. Like that's, I know I just, it's something I do. I already have it all programmed in. And, you know, one day I was just, I'm not hungry. I don't want all of this. I don't need all of this. My body's saying, you know, this is a no-go. And, you know, I ended up not eating it. And, you know, I texted Dylan the next day and said, hey, I, you know, my hunger cue was not there last night, like it usually is. And I decided not to eat it. I hope that is, you know, okay, like moving forward. And, you know, sometimes just having that extra little validation of we're not in a season of competitions right now. If you're not hungry, you need to listen to your body. And that is something that you, like you said, with tracking is, you know, as long as I, you know, I have my non-negotiables, like I'm sure we'll touch on, but you know, protein is one of them. And, you know, as long as I feel like I hit my protein and know I hit my protein, I'm, you know, I want to have strong muscles and I know that's where it's going. So, you know, there are some things that whatever season you're in, you know, you still learn more and more about your body as you go on, especially with those date nights, you know, you, I love me some steak. I, you know, my personal fave is filet mignon and that is something that I'll go to and Zach will go to, you know, the bone in ribeye or whatever, because, you know, his macros are higher than mine, but you know, whatever. And, but it's again, knowing what your body needs and along this entire bodybuilding journey, whatever season you're in, that is something that I feel everybody learns, whether they learn it really fast or not.
And I think too, like, you know, something that you brought up that at this season, you probably would even recognize is almost unhealthy. And I hope you don't feel like I'm pointing fingers at you, because I've done it too. You know, it's like, I could never picture myself at this point texting my coaches if last night I didn't finish my creamy and saying like, hey, I hope it's okay that I didn't, you know, it's like, it's so out. I mean, like out of mind for me at this, in this season of life, to think like that I would text a coach after I didn't finish my dessert last night and be like, hey, I wasn't hungry for it. You know, like, I don't even need that sort of approval right now. Like
now I'm good. Now I'm like, dude, I didn't eat this. Like I still check in with Dylan. I still work with him. And you know, I still want to be for myself in a comfortable, confident area. And I want to be honest. And sometimes for me, like being able to voice that and say, hey dude, this is what happened. You know, that helps me. And now I look back and of course, like when I texted him, I was like, this is the stupidest text you're ever going to get from me, but just want to let you know, you know, and we have such a good relationship that that's kind of, it's okay for us to like text off, you know, the plan or whatever. But right now it's, again, it's what season are you in? And I just needed a little bit of, it's okay. Like we can move on. You're not going to lose muscle. Just like, you know, if you have a protein bar, it's not going to make you gain muscle, you know? So, it's just small things and being open and honest with yourself. Like you said, it's just, you know, you weren't hungry, so you didn't eat. And that's like totally okay.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to, you know, something that I talked about just a few minutes ago, where it was like, you really have to take the inventory of, and you have to be open to the feeling of, I don't like this. And, you know, when I knew I didn't like something, I had to explore if it was because it was hard, right? Like, I don't like to do the hip thrust. That's my least favorite movement, but I still do them to this day. Or if it's because it no longer served me in the season that I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people with Bulgarian split squats. You love to hate them. Hate to love them, you know, but we do them.
So, you know, as you were kind of segueing into shifting your identity, I guess there's two big questions that I have for you. And you can probably kind of tie them together maybe. Is the first thing I would love to, for you to share with our audience is, was there fear involved in the decision of stepping away? And then how did you handle that fear and your shift in identity from being a competitor to being someone who still loves bodybuilding, but wasn't actively competing?
So fear is something that I think is, in small doses, of course, something that is positive. You know, we can't grow without challenging ourselves. And, you know, if you have a little bit of a fear, that means, you know, you care in a way. And
Yes, you know, I just shared that with my mom the other day.
Oh, really? It's true. I mean, we're scared of something so much so that because we put so much time, effort, and care into something. Like, think about when you go on stage, you know, you're nervous, but you're so nervous that you're excited because you want to show the best version of yourself up there and show that, you know, you belong. So I think fear, a little bit of fear is always good. But one of the biggest things that, you know, I did fear a little bit, as silly as it may sound, is, you know, I want to still obviously be the best version of myself and help inspire and motivate other athletes who are either new to the sport or, you know, currently competing. And, you know, if I'm not actively competing, am I still that strong athlete that, you know, others can look up to? And that was a small fear of mine of being like, since I'm not competing this year, is it, you know, are people going to think, oh, she doesn't care? Because I do, I deeply care. It's just not my season for competing right now. So that would be, you know, and again, it's because I care. I want to be able to help inspire and motivate other athletes and share my story and share some of the experiences, whether they be good or bad, with new competitors or, you know, even, you know, new IFBBs, you know, pros. So,
you know, that's something. I have always done this my whole life. I go through a season where I'm like, oh, do I share this? Do I not share this? And honestly, sharing this, not just this podcast, but I finally, the pain of not sharing and of living like two lives was deeper than the pain of just telling people, like, I'm in an indefinite off season, point blank. Here's why. And being in alignment with that. And now sharing, you know, my full days of eating again on YouTube and why my diet looks the way it is. And I'm doing a little bit more animal based now and recovering my cycle and just like this whole thing. Not that I needed this, but I have gotten so much feedback from people that not only recognize how happy I am, but recognize how healthy I am and their gratitude for the fact that I shared. And it's like, I almost for a second was like, God, Maddie, why were you so scared to share this? And it's because no one else does. No one
and
does.
And that's the thing is like we talked about before we hit record, this is not a sexy topic. This is not something that everyone likes to talk about because of the fear aspect where it's people are going to forget me. The judges aren't going to know who I am anymore. Do I even want to compete? Do I need, you know, there are so many questions that you need to ask yourself before moving forward, before you can care about what other people think. You know, it's just something that, you know, are we going to compete the rest of our lives? Probably not. You know, I'm not going to be 60 years old up on that stage. I hope I have grandbabies by then and I get a, you know, maybe they want to be on stage and support them that way. I don't know. So, you know, being
well, you know, reflect. Something too about the people that I idolize most in this sport. It's so funny because some of them are like vastly, I guess you wouldn't say like irrelevant, but they take some egregious amounts of time off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the competitors that I really value. They're not the ones that are living all the time in preps and they're competing like you wouldn't believe. Like some of my favorite athletes are number one retired. Some of my other favorite athletes are the ones that share more about their life season because you get to know them on a personal level than the ones that share about when they're actually in season. I'm like, this is boring. I'm used to it. I know what to, you know, it's a
fight. Yeah, it's the same. I mean, and that's the thing with competing too in bodybuilding is we do the same things every day. And, you know, you do the boring things really well and, you know, consistently you're successful. And, you know, being able to step away from the stage of a prep and show off your life a little bit and show that you can have fun. You know, you have a family, you have all of these other things. Like that is what people gravitate towards because that's where people can relate. And I think, you know, on that topic, it's just so important for people to realize those top IFBB pros, you know, of course they live it day in and day out, but it's really what you do in the off season that makes you who you are on the in season. And I think that is something that, you know, people need need to realize that if it's a bodybuilding competition, you're building, you should be in your building season more so than your prep. And with that comes time with family, friends, and life.
So as you, you know, shifted, I guess you kind of touched on this, but is there anything you want to add to the question of, you know, how you handled your shift in identity from being a competitor to someone who still loves the sport, but isn't actively competing? I know we talked about some of the things that you, you know, still maintained in terms of structuring your training and your nutrition, but what about that, like, identity?
So that's tough. I mean, I think that's tough for any athlete, to be honest. Since I've been an athlete my entire life, I'm used to grinding for something. And usually that was physically, right? Because it was like, okay, you know, we have 5 a.m. training, running drills, soccer for me was every day. And that's just day in and day out. So like I said, since I've been an athlete my whole life, this is something that just comes naturally to me now. I still want to, you know, be confident and comfortable in my skin and feel
absolutely
happy. And I think that is something that I need to internalize. Even now, I need to work on that a little bit more and be okay with not being shredded and not being stage lean, because that's not real life all the time. And, you know, something right now, as far as identities go, is, you know, I want to be a mom. I do want to have babies, and I want to make sure, like, I am the healthiest version of myself, not only, you know, the most confident, but to be able to produce and, you know, give back, like I said, to my family. And like everything, it evolves. Family evolves, life evolves, this sport evolves. There's a new division, you know, fit model that's going to evolve, and being able and open and willing to evolve with it. So even though I'm not an active competitor right now, I'm still an athlete, you know, and that is something that is so important to me, to feel strong and, you know, mentally and physically, and not only look at what's on the outside.
Yeah. You know, I think you touched on a few key things there. As you were just talking about, like, your identity, I think what a lot of people forget is that they can have many identities, right? And some can be a little bit more pungent or prominent in certain seasons of life than others. And, you know, much like what you were talking about with being a mom, it was almost as if, you know, when you're using Google Maps and you've got the little blue pin and there's the cone, I just learned this year, and the cone can shift and you can kind of see what direction you're traveling when you're walking. It's like my cone for so long was geared and pointed north, which was get your pro card. Now my cone is just pointed east, towards being the best girlfriend, partner, wife, and spouse that I can be. And what that looks like is all the things that we've discussed that we're now doing. And it's almost as if, like, those are my checkbox items every day, right? It's like, wake up, take the dog for a WALK, you know, like, I can't say it out loud
because
he's here.
Don't say it, because my dog would freak out too.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's what can I do now to show up in this season that obviously makes me feel good. But even what makes me feel good is sometimes, you know, if my partner wants French toast, making a healthy version of French toast, but us both eating French toast on a moment's notice instead of having oatmeal and egg whites. And so there's just that, there's that shift, and it's okay to have multiple identities. It's okay to allow your cone to pivot, and to stack up your actionables in such a way that it's now allowing you to achieve to get to your end destination, right?
Right. Because I'm not only an athlete and a competitor, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a dog mom. You know, I have so many different avenues in my world that I can turn towards and be, and that makes me happy. Like, I am very close with my younger brother, and, you know, he's somebody who I look up to, and, you know, he's somebody who is a priority in my life. And no matter what, I'm like, I'm a sister, and I want to be there for him, whether that is going out and getting pasta or, you know, something, you know, so silly. But, you know, we need to allow ourselves to dig into those other identities and not just lock it down with one.
100%. You know, I think a very valuable lesson that we've kind of discussed here for our audience is, like, we both still train hard. We both still eat well. We both still follow the principles of bodybuilding, but we just do it in a way that allows for more freedom. And like, you know, for me in this season of life, it's, yeah, exactly. And I've had to definitely share this, especially with a lot of my athletes, because they ask and I'm honest with them. You know, I'm in the gym. I train 3 days a week in a box gym. And the reason being is I'm not trying to add muscle. You know, I'm trying to fit in my clothes that were always kind of like, I had to buy fit jeans for the longest time. Now I don't. You know, I go to Pilates twice a week. I love Pilates because it's lower intensity. It's 50 minutes. I'm in and I'm out. I have a great community there. And then I go to run club. Like today I'm going to run. And it's something that these were always things that were kind of like no-nos, obviously, when my goal was bodybuilding. Yeah. And that was okay.
But you'd be like, oh, I'm doing Pilates for a bodybuilding competition. Yeah, okay. You know?
And yeah. Or like you run and your coaches are like, your coaches are like, what? You were running? You're not in a prep. You can't run. You know, you light intensity steady state only. And, you know, and now it's like, I get to run. And there's things that, you know, I still track. This morning I was filming my full day of eating and I had my food scale out. And I'm like, ah, shit. I'm like, my audience is going to think that I'm tracking all this. No, I just track my honey because I know that I would, you know, that honey all over the top if I wasn't careful. And like, you know, I talked about tracking is a tool. It's not for absolutely everything. And so in this season for me, I began exploring, you know, not only what foods make me feel good, because I still want to emphasize that, but what foods do I love? I didn't even know until this season of life that I love maple syrup. I love half and half. Mm-hmm. I love 2% milk and not nut milk. You know, what foods keep me satiated? For the longest times, my meals looked like a green, a rice, a lean protein, minimal fat. Now, you know, I might put an ounce of grass-fed raw dairy or cheese on one of my meals, and butter. I cook with butter.
Yeah,
I know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when was the last time that I ate? The only meal that I've had I've had breakfast and lunch, but my lunch was early. And I'm sitting here, it's 3 p.m. I had lunch at 11. Not a single hunger cue. You know, it's like, I actually am proud. I'm proud to have taken that step and to do this exploration. You know, I love that in this season, I can travel. I can have date nights. I can have these untracked meals without stress. But at the same time, like you've talked about, Allegra, we and I feel amazing in my body because I'm nourishing it and I'm moving it daily. And I know those things to be true. Right.
Yeah. And by, you know, watering it, you're also watering your relationships and being able to, you know, not put yourself in that box and say, yeah, I'm going to go to Pilates today because you know what? I'm not feeling, you know, I need to, my body is just telling me something different. You know, like I train 4 days a week and I have 3 rest days. And, you know, for most people, you're like four. I mean, and for me too, like I love training 5 days a week. If I could, I would, but you know,
a 6 day a week split.
Yeah. Like, you know, just do what makes you feel good. And I've been in a 4 day split since my feedback actually was, you're just too lean. So I just got in that zone. But, you know, I've been signing up for 5Ks with my mom and, you know, I tried a CrossFit class a few weeks ago. And when you're in season, you're like, hell no. Like, what are you doing? Like,
right.
You know.
Well, and I think this is something that people don't share. I remember for the longest time, I was like almost afraid to post stories of me, like, you know, going to a Pilates class. And now I'm like, no, people need to know, like, I have people that, not that I'm looking for this, but that admire the body that I'm in. And so why would I not share what I'm doing to get this and to maintain this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on, you know, you're in a box gym and, you know, you train 3 days a week and, you know, have fun the other days. And for me, I'm in a very, very good bodybuilding centric gym. And I love it. And that is something that I look forward to going to the gym on my gym days, because not only do I get to like be fueled by everybody around me, they're my people, they're my community, they're, you know, my support system. And, you know, looking at it, I'm also their support system. You know, it's, you know, when people come up to me and ask me, so what should we do for this? What should I do for this movement? Or do you like this? It's not even about me. It's about, you know, how I can help and like give back. So even though I'm not at a box gym, I'm at, you know, literally a bodybuilding centric gym. It's the motivation that I need to help others while helping myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being
able on that, for sure, for sure. On that note, before we kind of move on to our final segment of this discussion and just share with our audience. Yeah, I know it went by fast to share with like, our audience, though. To share with our audience just some tips for them before we get there. I would love for you, I know you've touched on a lot of like what some of the habits you are that you still keep, being like maintaining your protein intake, training 4 days a week, untracked meals, I'm sure things like water intake, sleep, so on and so forth. These are also important for having and conceiving a baby. But I would love for you to discuss for our listeners like what harmony looks like for you now, or balance, and how has your relationship with food and even training evolved now that you're not in that strict mindset?
So something that, you know, I like to do, and you touched on it too, is I do keep things pretty tight, you know, throughout the week and weekend. It's not that, you know, Saturday comes and it's all out the door, out the window, whatever you want to say. But I've been training like this for so long that the structure that I've already had, even before bodybuilding, has such deep roots. So, you know, I still track my macros. I really do, because protein is something that I have learned is extremely, extremely important for my body. And satiation, you know, so that is something that is a non-negotiable for me, is I hit my protein every day. And that is something that, if you're new to tracking, or, you know, want to learn how to track, protein is going to be that number one thing that, you know, make sure you're getting close to that number and learning what works for your body. Because, you know, sometimes red meat isn't good for everybody. Sometimes fish isn't good for everybody. So protein is something that I definitely keep. And then, as far as like flexibility, I have either, you know, a few IE days a week, or, you know, I have a free meal. And again, it might be a crock pot meal that I made at home, but I'm not tracking it, you know, and that would be my free meal. And I would just get to, you know, like we touched on, just cooking with my husband and, you know, having a good dinner. It's not that dirty. It's just, I'm not tracking it and it makes me feel good. You know, there are times when, well, Zach and I will go to the gym together, and then after we'll be like, oh, kind of hungry. Do you want to go out for lunch? And that is something that I've been able to say yes to. And you know, it wasn't my, you know, quote, the day that I wanted to be intuitive, but it's okay. Cause it's, again, not the end of the world. We're not going out for Wendy's and getting all this like junk food. It's something that, again, you just don't have to track on your phone. It's time spent with family. And that is,
again, you're acting in alignment of where your cone is eliminating. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, at that time, my cone is husband. What do we do? Yep. You know, like what can I do to be there for both of us? It's not just me. Right. So I do track. I still, you know, train 4 days a week, and I love it. I love how I feel. And, you know, my goals may shift a little bit, you know, depending on, you know, what the training looks like. But I still train, like I said, 4 days a week, track and take my IE days. And then some of the habits that, you know, I have and have implemented daily is, you know, the protein intake is my big thing. Going for my 30-minute walk, whether, you know, it's just steps, or if I want to get my heart rate up, great, you know, then I will accommodate with whatever I need to do. Drinking my gallon of water a day. We all, you know, have our Stanley cups. There's no excuse for that. But I also know that is what my body really likes. If I don't hit 120 ounces a day, it's, you know, the next day my body
might
be off. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So you definitely need to drink water. So I get, you know, 120 to like 140, maybe 170 ounces a day. But, you know, that's one of my non-negotiables. And then sleep. We need our sleep, and that is something that just propels us into the next day and allows us to fully be present and not be groggy or, you know, mood swings or things like that. And, you know, those would be kind of like my non-negotiables and my habits that I have on the daily.
Yeah. I think a big one for me, honestly, was, and my most recent coaches definitely helped instill this in me, was like the importance of stress management. You know, I've never prioritized like breath work or quiet time or yoga or meditation, and that is like an integral component of my day to day now, because if not, I can feel it. You know, stress, your body knows.
You like, you're mentally stressed, so your body shows it a little bit more, and that's when you're like, oh, I need to do my breath work. So like when you do Pilates, do you find that helpful in the mindset aspect? Because it's different than, you know, lifting weights in the gym. So do you find that more along the meditational movements?
You know, more so with yoga, honestly, Pilates kicks my ass if I'm just being completely up front. Yeah, I mean, the first time I walked in there, I'm not even gonna lie, I looked around, I was like, oh, you got this. No, I mean, I even in the gym sometimes, like there's days where I go and I probably wouldn't even, I do, but I probably wouldn't even need to shower after. When I'm in Pilates, there's like a constant stream of like sweat dripping off my forehead. Like it's definitely difficult. Now, usually it's more of like a full body oriented style workout. I don't know if you've ever done like Pilates on a reformer.
Forever, but yes.
Yeah, it is full body, but it's like, you know, you spend 10 to 15 minutes on a side. It's a lot of like unilateral movements. So a lot of like isometric holds. They'll do like a lot of pulses and then into deeper movements. And then they always say like, you got to go down before you go up. So you'll be like burning, and then they'll make you burn even more. It's about basically taking the oxygen, depriving the muscle of oxygen, so you grow and stimulate the muscle to break down. But it's cool.
It's different.
It's different. It is. And it's great to be in a season of life where I can give myself, it took time, but give myself permission to explore that as a means of training and really moving my body.
And connecting with your
So
body.
100%. 100% in a different way. And honestly, for me, in many ways, this season of my life has been all about embracing femininity in a different degree, instead of like athletic feminism, if that makes sense. And being in that environment where it's predominantly women. I mean, Chris goes with me and I see other men in there, but it's predominantly women, and it's, you know, women who that's their only means of training, and they feel great and they look great, and they, you know, we high five each other at the end of class, and just
It's the
that,
community too, you know, that you've
yeah,
created.
that has definitely helped me to just see things differently. So as we're kind of wrapping up this call, Allegra, I want to cap off or capstone this topic for our listeners about, you know, some advice for them, women who might be struggling with this transition. So, what would you say to a competitor who's feeling called to take a step back but might be scared to?
So, you know, this goes back to I would ask them why they're scared. What is holding you back? Do you feel as though you're, quote, a better person when you're in prep? Do you feel as though you're scared to go into, you know, a growing season and gain weight? You know, I was actually at a bare aesthetics retreat this weekend, and being around all these girls and everything, it's the community aspect that I absolutely love. But you know, one of the athletes, you know, they were scared to stay away from stage for so long because the judges, they were afraid that the judges weren't going to remember them. And you know, you have to go through those stages, of course, especially as an early on athlete. But you know, some people think, you know, gaining weight is scary. Going into an off season alone is scary because you don't know when it's going to end. Like this woman, you know, she didn't want the judges to not know who she was. And, you know, if you're wanting to earn that national qualification or the pro card, the time off from stage is where the, you know, physique is made mentally and like, well, especially mentally. And that's what you bring into the in season. So if you're scared to go into an off season, first of all, if you hopefully you have a coach, you know, talk to them. You should be able to trust them and, you know, have great communication over this topic specifically, and you know, really dig deep internally as to what you want. You know, in the beginning of this call, we talked about, oh, this is the next step, right? This is what we do. But what do you really want? And what do you need out of, you know, this experience? You know, for me, it was I want to have babies. I want to, you know, grow my family. And that's a different kind of scary, you know, but you know, you
Well, and
have
I
to
think,
ask yourself.
I will never forget when I got feedback from Sandy after Universe. Or no, she didn't make it to Universe. It was a show just before that. I think it was Junior Nationals. Sandy was like, "Maddie, you're 21 years old." I think it was like, no, I might have been like 22,
Go
but
have
I
a
don't know.
life.
I was young, yeah. And I remember Sandy telling me, she was like, "What are you doing? Like, go live your life." And I think a lot of girls think like, "Oh, the judges are going to think I'm irrelevant." I'm like, no, the judges in that on that same vein, the opposite is true too. They know when you're literally not living a life, and there's judgment there too. Don't think there isn't.
They're humans.
And right. And I think that the other thing too, it's funny as you talked about being scared. I remember when I born and raised in Florida, never seen snow. I'm leaving for Switzerland this Thursday to see snow for the first time ever. And I hated swim lessons, hated them. And my mom used to, I remember she'd ask me, "Well, why are you scared? Why are you scared?" You know, your parent as a kid would sit there and they would console you and they would give you advice and they would ask you why, and then they would tell you everything's going to be okay, or they would rationalize with you. You know, it so many people, they think that if you're scared, and I did this too, that you have to just do what everybody's done, right? Or if you're scared to do something, then you need to just stay where you're at. It's not necessarily the case. You need to explore where the root of the fear is so that we can dismiss it. Because as we've discussed, this decision for both you and I think has been effing scary. But
Yeah,
look, we're
it
okay.
has.
We're okay. And honestly, looking back in retrospect, staying there would have been scarier.
Yeah, it would have been because I wouldn't have been able to allow myself to explore new opportunities and, be flexible. A big role model of mine, are my parents. And, my mom is almost, she's one of my best friends, and she actually got me into fitness. And, we talk about this fear all the time. And, you got to put yourself out there. You got to do things that are scary and challenging. And, something that I've learned from my dad too is the same thing. And, you touched on snow and water actually. And today it's snowing for the first time in Washington, which I'm a no-go with the snow, but, so growing up with my dad, he had a fear of water, an absolute fear of getting in the ocean. And, now he's actually a master diver and he completely got over that fear. And, there are some things that are going to be put in front of you that you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but you have to give yourself an opportunity to try and grow and, not get over the fear, but allow it to be a part of you. And, without the fear, it's almost like you don't care in a way, like I kind of touched on
I was
earlier.
just gonna say, yeah, if you're scared to do something, it's probably because it's important for you to do.
And,
And
going from, I talk about this with some of my close friends, but having, the physique of a pro bodybuilder and going to a pregnant mama, very different physiques and very different mindsets. And, I'm scared but excited because I care.
Well, and I, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. My mom always says, "You know, Maddie, sometimes you just have to do it scared." And I think sometimes too, if you're not scared to keep competing and you're not scared to keep going, it's not to say that that's the out of alignment thing to do. But again, it goes back to just because something is comfortable doesn't mean it's what you want in that season. And so, advice that I want to share for our listeners is if you're ever feeling drawn to something beyond competing, trust that feeling. It doesn't mean you're never going to compete again, but it does mean that there's something else in your life that deserves your energy. And we hear this a lot. We hear competing will always be there, but it will. Life,
It really
however,
will.
life moves forward. And sometimes embracing that change is going to bring you exactly where you're going to want to be because life doesn't wait. And I think that all of us as women or men or athletes, competitors, wives, husbands, we deserve to build a life that we love. And a life that we love is bodybuilding, but also I'm learning a life far beyond that too.
Yeah, and you learn so much when you just kind of allow things to be and allow yourself to explore and try new things and be open. Yes, you're going to be scared at first, but that's when growth happens and that's when you can really find out who you are and who you want to be and, who you want to surround yourself with, or is those
For
opportunities.
sure. For sure. Oh my gosh, this has been so good. My heart is just so happy. It really is.
This is,
Thank
I
you
love
so
this
much.
conversation. It's like
Thank
we
you
said,
so much.
it's not talked about a lot, and people just need to allow themselves to live life, and it's okay to step away for a little bit. And if that's a little bit longer than you thought, you know, as long as you're happy, then that's what life is about, living
That's
that
what
life
matters.
season.
And that's what other people too are going to notice, right?
Yeah,
Other people
exactly.
notice when you're happy, and that's what people are attracted to. So, listeners,
Exactly.
today, if you take anything away from the episode, let it be this: stepping away from competing does not mean that you have permission to stop being a bodybuilder, but you get to define what bodybuilding looks like for you. If you have loved this episode, be sure to share it with a friend who might need to hear this message. You can find Allegra on Instagram. Is it Allegra Sims IFBB?
I think it's Allegra Lee. So it's Allegra underscore LEIGH underscore IFBB Pro.
Perfect. Okay, that I will also have it linked down below. And you can follow me at Mads Mischief Fitness. If you're looking for support with functional health coaching, lifestyle coaching, or contest prep, you can apply to work with the Empowered Coaching Collective. Link is down in the description below. Remember, ladies and gents, but mostly ladies, I think, be kind to others this week and don't leave yourself out of the mix. The Psyche Behind the Physique releases new episodes every other Saturday, and we will see you next time.